Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we are here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. Boy, do I have a mover and shaker on the show today. Today I have on the show Maggie Brooks. And if you haven't heard of Maggie Brooks, you're either brand new to Rochester or you've been living in one of those caves near the lake in Webster. So Maggie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
So happy to have you on the show.
Glad to be
for
here.
For so many reasons. So let's just tell the guests right away. We've known each other. I don't want to count the years, but I want to say it was 1989.
Absolutely. And I think I was 8 at the time, right?
Yeah, and I was just born. Yeah, so it's pretty cool, right? just to give the listeners the context here, when I was in college, I thought I wanted to be a TV reporter. And those true Rochesterians know that Maggie's kind of, you know, I don't think it was your first gig, but it was your first gig that made you kind of famous in Rochester. You were the morning show host on Channel 10.
Yes.
For how long?
Almost 15 years.
Wow. So yeah. What years were those?
Well, actually, I was at Channel 10 from 1980 until the end of 1994. And okay. So actually about 11 of those years, I did the morning broadcast and the noon show, okay. Which at the time there was no cable. There was not a lot of competition. So there right. was one of three choices.
Yep.
And for a while, we actually had the only noon program. So
wow.
Had a lot of viewers. Yeah.
Cutting edge.
Cutting edge.
Cutting edge. Yeah. So, you know, maybe Ted Turner got the idea from you. Like, yeah. I like the noon thing, but that's just due all the time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that was a great time to be a newscaster and to be in that business. I know today it's so different with the corporate behemoth. You're kind of a spreadsheet. Let's get rid of Kevin Williams because we don't know him and we're not in Rochester and we'll save some money type of atmosphere. But back in your day when I was there, it was fun, right?
It was fun. Yeah. And you know what? It was always about the community. And there was a lot of camaraderie, and even with people who were considered the competition at another station.
Yeah.
You know what? We always got along, and it was just, you know, it was fun.
Co-opetition, right?
Yes, and it's lost a little bit of its fun. People, these days, the corporations are reminding us that broadcasting, like anything else, is a business.
Right.
Versus what people perceive is that you come into their home, you're part of their family, you're part of their community. Yeah. A lot of that has changed. So it's, company culture. Oh, well.
Right. Well, and so I look at the team back then at Channel 10. And in fact, I had Donna Deedy on the show a little over a month ago. And we were talking about, like, if you guys were a high school class, you guys were like a great high school class, right? Because you were going to get into it, but you obviously went on to do great things and still doing great things. Donna Deedy has been a fixture in the community in many different ways. Laura Saxby has done some
Paychecks,
great things
yeah.
at Paychecks in charge of PR. Rich Funke, senator. What a great class of Channel 10, right?
Well, you know what? We all learned, and maybe not by plan, but the way it worked out, that there's life after.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because I think it shows people that, you're not just a talking head. You hear that all the time about people on television and what they do and reporters and such. And you know what? That everybody went on, everybody who left or the people from that class, most of them went on to do meaningful work, still serving the community in a different way.
Yeah.
And I often said when I was in government that broadcasting was a great foundation for what I did as an elected official. Because when you're a reporter, you are boots on the ground and you see in a very real way how public policy affects people. In neighborhoods, in communities, in business. And so it's having that perspective and then going into government when you are actually creating and impacting policy was very, very helpful.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was a great place to come from.
Yeah. It's like getting your master's.
In real life.
Yeah.
I always looked fondly on that, and I'm glad I started my journey there.
Yeah.
And it has served me well since then.
Yeah, that's great. So tell us the journey. So after Channel 10. I believe you got involved in radio, right?
Well, actually, the journey started in 1977, and I won't bore everybody with the details, but 2 weeks before I graduated from Ithaca College, I got this blind call, an anonymous call from someone saying, you've worked at this station in Ithaca, New York for a long time, and we have a friend that has a station that's hiring news people. Hmm. And I thought, yeah, okay, I've heard
right.
this before.
Yeah.
So I sent my... tape and my resume. Then we used those little cassette tapes, and I sent that to this individual. And lo and behold, a week later, I got a call from WHAM here in Rochester to come in for an interview. And the younger generation won't appreciate how enormous that was to a college graduate, because WHAM, 50,000 clear watt channel station, they could hear you in Europe at night.
One of the oldest stations in the country, too, right?
And seasoned professionals. You know, it wasn't a training ground. They wanted
they wanted
people. So a great opportunity for me. I encountered many of my early mentors there, people who had been in the business for a long time, who taught me a lot about broadcasting. So I was there for 3 years, moved to Channel 10. You know, I was like any other young broadcaster. You have to make a decision. Do I want to be a big fish in a small pond, or do I want to go to New York or to Washington, where my family was at the time? You know, do I want to move to a larger city and maybe not be as prominent in the pool as some others? And, you know, Channel 10 made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And Warren DeRemus was the one that hired me. And so, you know what, it was a great journey there. And I did a little bit of everything. I was a reporter. I was a producer. I was an anchor. You know, the full body experience. And so spent the next almost 15 years there. Really loved it. But again, you know, at the time there was a downsizing, and there were several of us that kind of had to focus on what does life after look like, and we did that. And so I always go back to that experience because it has helped me and has been the thread, I think, in a lot of whatever success I've had in the community. After that, I went and worked for Tom Galassano for a small company, startup company called Networks with an X, and their primary product was companion radio. And what that was four satellite radio stations targeting nursing homes. So part of my job would be to go in and call bingo for 8 hours a day, or read poetry, or listen, you know, program old radio shows. And so it was a lot of fun. And the most challenging part of it was being part of that startup. And it still exists today and is still doing work. So I feel like I contributed on that level.
Great.
Then I went into government, joined, you know, the county legislature part-time. And then when I became county clerk full-time, I left my Networks job and for the next 20 years stayed with county government as county clerk and then county executive. So, yikes, you know, it's been a very diverse journey. I'm now working at RTS.
Which is Rochester,
Regional Transit Service. Some people know it as RGRTA, but we're the bus company. And, you know, so still in a different way, you know, supporting the community. And so that's been the thread. I've always been a public servant, regardless of job. And
servant leader.
Servant leader. Absolutely. And, and that's one of the values that I actually embrace is servant leadership. And so, you know, it's been an interesting journey. I will say to your audience, I've never been a planner. And so a lot of the decisions I made were timing and opportunity. And I do share that. I do some leadership training and was an adjunct at RIT for a while. And you know what? I tell students and young people that you don't have to plan. I mean, it's, you know, some people say, where do you want to be in 3 years? Where do you want to be in 5 years? I'm not sure if I did that, I'd be where I am now. Because, you know, it all came down to what are your opportunities and the timing. Sometimes you're not ready to pursue something, but timing tells you you're better. So it's been an interesting dynamic.
Hey, Maggie, we're going to continue your journey in a second.
Fox News' Tim Shalhoub takes on the news stories of the day with comedic insight. Weekdays 3 to 6 on WOKR.
My Bed Back loves my Craftmatic.
My Bed Back loves my Craftmatic bed.
My Bed Back loves my Craftmatic adjustable bed. These aren't actors. They're real people who sleep better every night thanks to their Craftmatic adjustable bed. Just call 800-410-6118. That's 800-410-6118 for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. Amaze yourself and see how little they cost. Rated number one nationwide on consumeraffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. So if you've ever had a bad night's sleep, wake up sore, stiff, with back, neck, or shoulder pain, call for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. Amaze yourself. See how little they cost. Call 800-410-6118. That's 800-410-6118. 800-410-6118. Call now.
This is a national health alert from the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one has diabetes, we have important news. If you lost your supplier or if you need one, you may qualify to receive diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to potentially be eligible. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline now for details.
Call 800-373-4379. That's 800-373-4379.
Get free, no obligation information, free delivery to your door, and all the insurance paperwork is handled by our accredited agents for free. Call right now and you will also receive a free pedometer as our special gift to you. Regardless of your age, if you or a loved one needs diabetic supplies and you have Medicare or private insurance, we can help.
Call 800-373-4379. That's 800-373-4379. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-373-4379.
Something new in talk radio. 1310 WOKR.
Great guest today. I'm making her blush. Maggie Brooks, who has been many great things in Rochester, currently doing some great leadership at the RTS, Regional Transit Service. And so we're learning, you know, about her journey that began in 1977, I believe you said.
1977.
Here in Rochester with working at WHAM, which obviously great start. Talk about hit the ground running. And then Maggie went to Channel 10 and then went to a radio station company that Tom Galassano started for nursing homes, and then got into government.
Government,
yep.
Right.
So county, or first county clerk.
County clerk, and then county executive.
Yeah. And how long was that for, that whole?
I was with the county for 20 years.
20 years,
seven as county clerk, and then 12 as county executive, which was the max you could serve. It's a term limited position.
Yep.
So
yeah, and for those of you just turning in, I have a special long-term relationship with Maggie. Maggie knew me when I was a punk kid, and now I'm a punk adult. But when I was in college, about 19, 20 years old, I thought I wanted to be a TV reporter and did an internship at Channel 10. I would show up. Geez, I think I got there 4:30 in the morning, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
We started early.
For the whole summer. And you were wonderful. You treated
me
like gold. I mean, great, great experience. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And as a good internship does, you realize if that is the career for you or not. And I said, well, I had a great experience. I said, you know, I don't think this is my calling because I just had more of an entrepreneurial bug about me.
Sure.
So then I ended up running the college newspaper and started a magazine shortly after college. So and
very
I've been
successful.
I've been a crazy entrepreneur, a manic mad scientist, as they say, since then. But you know, like you you know, you kind of follow the path, you know. I mean, I don't know if I, you know, 10 years ago or even a year ago saying I'd have my own daily radio show or doing a national podcast. So you just do your best and trust God that's going to – he's going to kind of lay the path for you, right, as long as you're doing good things.
Yeah, you discover your purpose for sure.
Exactly. So now you are here at RTS.
Yes.
And – how long have you been here for now?
I have been here since 2015, so just 2 years, a little over 2 years.
A little 2 years, okay. So tell me about what you're doing here, and I believe you just got a promotion.
Is that hot off the press? It's hot off the press.
All right, good. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, right. I'm the Executive Vice President of Customer and Community Outreach.
Right.
And really what that does is my direct reports are from marketing and communications, customer service, business development, and community outreach. So anything that touches the customer externally, anything customer facing, would fall under my my jurisdiction.
Yep.
And we are doing some amazing things here at RTS. And you know, we're like any other business. Timing is everything. And it's a great time to be in transportation because people don't look at transportation as buses that go from point A to point B anymore. They look at mobility and how individuals are traveling and how they want to travel. And a lot of that means they want flexibility, they want convenience, they want on-demand, thank you, Uber and Lyft.
Right.
You know, they want more than a traditional bus company can offer.
Yeah.
So we're testing the waters around new products and our own on-demand services. I'm in charge of a van pool program here that supports companies in the area and helps them get workers to their sites at times when the buses don't run.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot to what we're doing now, and it's a changing industry. And I like being here when the challenge is how do we stay relevant? That's the question I keep asking everyone in the organization, including our CEO, is how do we stay relevant in this quickly changing world? And so it's been very exciting for me, and I get to interact with a lot of companies, which is what I've done, you know, I did in the county, and now I'm doing it here at RTS. So.
Yeah.
Relationships matter.
Yep.
Everybody listening, I'm telling you that right now.
Right. You wouldn't have been able to do this job if you did not invest in those relationships all these years in Rochester, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, that has really been a strength for me here in this position and still interacting with people in the community that I consider movers and shakers and that are having, you know, doing impactful work.
Right. Yeah. So tell me some statistics about RTS. How many people, is there like statistics about how many people ride the bus? Has it gone up or down over the years?
Yes, we represent 8 counties in the Finger Lakes region.
Wow. Okay.
Monroe being our largest county. 96% of our bus system is in Monroe County.
Okay.
Because Rochester being the urban center, we have the most robust part of our system there.
Yep.
We have about 18 million riders throughout the region every year. So we're considered a major upstate transportation authority. And ridership, believe it or not, has been dipping all across the country. And it kind of goes back to what I've been saying about the times they are changing. And 40-foot buses are not the only product we can sell anymore. And so we kind of have to reinvent ourselves to be relevant. And as ridership dips, we're trying to say, well, it's not unique to RTS, so what is it? And it's the introduction of a lot of mobility products. It's a function of job sites being located further and further away from those urban centers. And so there's a lot of reasons why ridership is kind of declining somewhat.
Yeah.
But we hope to go out there and change our business model a little bit and test some new products and recapture.
Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
I mean, who saw that coming, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and they don't own one car.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They don't own one car.
And it takes a lot more of investment in our infrastructure to survive.
Oh, yeah. How many buses? Do you know how many buses are
there? We have about 330 buses, and that's spread throughout the region. We have 900 employees.
Wow.
The majority of those are operators.
Yeah.
They are our boots on the ground. And you know what? We're a customer service business, but you know, financial sustainability is one of our core values because we one of the ways we measure our success, because that's critically important as well. So it's a fun business to be in. People say, oh, my grandson says, oh, Nana, you work at the bus company. That's boring. And I said, well, no, it's not boring.
Yeah.
And it is a good time. So it's a lot of challenges, but a lot of opportunities as well.
Right. Yeah. There's probably a better, different way to phrase, I work at the bus company. I mean, maybe I enable people to get from point A to point B, right?
Right. Well, you know what? We promote a service and support a service that people can build their lives around.
Yeah. They go to work.
They do.
They go to work, right? Yeah.
They go to daycare. They go to medical appointments. They get to education, you know.
Yeah.
So we are enabling them to have a full life. And, and that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah,
and
that's terrific. You're doing a good service for the community.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you have been a leader, I mean, obviously with the county here, et cetera. If you were to give some young people that are, you know, kind of a new business, starting a new business, starting to hire employees, What are some of the things that made you successful as a leader that, that maybe you would give advice to some of these young business owners?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, and I love this, and I've said this a lot over the years, is, you know, when you're a county executive or if you have a title that speaks to leadership, people automatically assume you're an expert on leadership. And, and what I have found, it's very personal, it's very subjective, and, and we all have to test the waters to find out what works for us.
Yeah.
I can tell you that the qualities that have worked well for me over the years is good communication skills. I don't think you can accomplish anything without being able to articulate a vision or articulate a strategy, and be able to take complex messages, which I did a lot when I worked in county government, take a lot of complex information and distill it down to a soundbite. That comes from my media background, you know, where I worked in soundbites, and suddenly I'm taking all this, you know, these masses of information and trying to not dumb it down, but make it relatable.
Palatable, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think communication is certainly something that I tell young leaders, work on it. You have to have an ability to relate to people, to communicate with people, to provide clarity around direction and strategy, and that kind of thing. So to me, that's number one. A couple of the things, I kind of have a top 10 of qualities that I think are important, things I've learned from leadership. There's no I in team. You know, I'm very much a collaborative leader. I believe in team. I don't have to be the smartest person in the room. And I always tell people that you don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You need to surround yourself with people who are subject matter experts. When I was in the county, I had all these departments. I was not a municipal finance expert. I was not a public safety expert. I was not a Medicaid and public health expert.
Yeah.
But I surrounded myself with people who had that skill set, and they were good advisors. And I empowered them to, you know, do their job and do it well, and to be honest and forthright with recommendations that they thought would help the county and the community that we were serving. So no I in team. Communication skills, I mentioned that. Don't be afraid to fail. One of the things that I've done throughout my career is keep a journal. And I don't journal things that went well. I journal things that went poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of dissect through thinking what went wrong. And I try and figure out the teachable moment in the failure. Because I believe in every failure or setback, or every time you feel like you didn't do that quite well, there's a teachable moment in there. And so I've always tried to step back when things weren't going very well. And, you know, when you're a county executive, when things don't go well, it's usually on the front page of the paper.
Right. Can't hide, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so...
You got a bad day at work, nobody knows.
The whole community knows.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just... You know, processing that in a way that is constructive versus destructive, and finding that teachable moment. So, you know, everything looks like a failure in the middle, right? And I'm a risk taker, so that would be another guiding principle. Take risk, because everything will look like a failure in the middle. And how do you know if it is until you get to the end? And if it's a failure, then, you know, go back and find that teachable moment and learn from it. I do believe in empowerment. You know, I like to empower people to be the best people they can be. When I joined the county, I encouraged people to challenge the status quo. I handed out a button, you know, the way we've always done things, with a circle and a slash. And I told all my department heads, this is my permission to you to think out of the box and to figure out how we are innovative in a government structure that's not traditionally known for being innovative, because government, you know, we all have that perception of government. So take that for a spin. Go out and you know, I want you to be creative. I want you to be out-of-the-box thinkers. And it really did help us to do some things that we probably wouldn't have done otherwise. I'm trying to think of the other things that I talk about.
I love what you said about not being the smartest person in the room, you know.
Yeah.
And I have a friend, Cameron Harold, who's a great coach for business owners, and he's got a saying where he says, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Right, right.
And, you know, to your point, I mean, you don't need to be an expert in public safety. You don't need to be an expert in all the logistics, right? I mean, you need to be the leader that empowers and supports and coaches all those people. And that's what you did. Yeah.
Right.
And in politics, it's extra tough, because no matter how good you do – you know, half the community is going to be against you anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're measured through that political lens, and I think that, you know, you're measured on the basis of how you govern, and that would be, you know, the business that you're running, and, you know, you put the measures in place, and you know, you kind of adopt some of those private sector principles, but at the end of the day, you know, you're viewed through a political lens, so, you know, you could have the best new project and be running the best social service department, and it won't matter.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, you look at, watch the State of the Union, and, I mean, time and time again, half the room's standing, half the room's not.
Right,
And then when the other party's president is, usually the same thing happens. Yeah. It's like, all right, no matter what you're doing, and so you probably just have to not worry about that piece, right?
Exactly.
Because you can't make everybody. I remember, you know, Bill Cosby, obviously, not a great reputation now, but he had a saying back in the day that really affected me. And he said the definition of misery is trying to make everyone else happy.
Right.
I was like, that, in my early 20s, I was trying to make everybody happy, all the family members and friends and et cetera. And I was exhausted. I'm like, oh, everyone's happy except me, you know. Yeah. And I said, well, you know, just like in the plane, I'm going to give myself oxygen first, and I'll see what I can do for other people after that.
Right. Well, you know what, and I a couple of other things that I would say, but let me just address that, is that the first day I was in office as county executive, I got a call from a very prominent business leader who introduced himself, and he said to me, I'm going to give you one piece of advice. He said, if you show up in the morning hoping to please everybody, you will fail. Mm-hmm. And I never forgot that. As a matter of fact, I wrote it down on a piece of paper and put it up next to my computer because it was absolutely true.
Yeah.
You got to believe in something. And so you have to be able to do the right thing when you believe it's the right thing, not that everybody thinks it's the right thing.
Yeah.
I have this gut check. I know in my gut. And it's never failed me. And the times that I have made what I consider the mistakes that are almost regrets, I never have regrets. I make mistakes, but I never have regrets. That's kind of my golden rule. I tell my children that all the time, my daughters. You know, you can make mistakes, but don't ever have any regrets. And the times I came close were the times that I didn't listen to that little voice, that gut telling me what I really knew was the right answer, and I kind of ignored it. Listening is a huge leadership quality that is important to me. I like to listen. I don't always do that very well, and I'm trying to get better at that because I want to add something. You know, I want to give my perspective instead of really not just listening but hearing and absorbing.
Well, Maggie, on that note, I'm going to give you a chance
Maggie.
I'm going to give you a chance to listen to me. No, I'm just kidding. We got to take a quick break.
Okay.
And we will be right back. I'm here with Maggie Brooks.
Join Victor's own David Mamano weekdays noon to 1 for the Avanti Entrepreneur Radio Show on 1310 WOKR.
I'm Chuck Kamlick, CNBC. Stock market volatility. The Dow has moved in a range of more than 900 points just today, down 570 at the open. The Dow is up now 96 points. The NASDAQ, 18 higher. The S&P lower. If you think your 401k had it bad yesterday because of that historic fall, Warren Buffett lost $5 billion. Plus, GM made 15% fewer vehicles last year because it was switching its factories to newer models. But operating profits rose, and GM stock is up another 3%. Lenovo recalling its ThinkPad laptops because of a possible fire hazard. Spirit Airlines profits soared 400% because of a tax break mainly, but its stock is down because Spirit will add more seats so it can pull in more passengers. Good news for flyers. And Apple says there's been strong demand for replacement batteries for its older iPhones. Apple's also thinking of offering rebates for people who paid full price for their new batteries. Chuck Kamlick, CNBC.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/back.
Only one event unites the world. The 2018 Winter Olympics.
And there it is! Shaun White double gold. Boy, does he deliver.
See the world's best.
Lindsey Vonn is a gold medalist.
and see the world at its best.
To the finish, the Kalen Schifrin wins gold for the U.S.
The 2018 Winter Olympics, coming February 8th, only on NBC.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance.
Call to receive your free DVD videos and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,250 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited time offer. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-956-7179 for your free DVD videos and brochure. That's 800-956-7179. ThermoSpa's, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-956-7179 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.
Maggie Brooks, who has been many things in Rochester over her great career, currently working at RTS and doing some great things. Just got a promotion. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we're talking about a lot of just leadership lessons that she learned and enacted during her career. And it's been, you know, great lessons. So thank you for that. And, you know, once again, if you're just tuning in, I think one of the most powerful lessons you learned as a leader was you can't please everybody.
Right.
Especially in politics,
right.
No matter what you do, you're going to make half the people upset, and because they thought it was their idea, right? And,
yeah, absolutely.
You know? And then the other thing I really like too is you basically said if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Be bold enough to say, I certainly have an ego. I'm going to put it in my back pocket. I'm going to surround myself with people who are smarter than me in their respective fields, and support them and coach them.
Right.
And it goes back
right.
to being a servant leader. You talked about it at the beginning of the show. What
yeah.
you know. What you know, I could picture you saying to your team, "How can I help you? What do you need from me so that I could help you be your best?" Right?
Yeah, and one thing I've learned in different leadership training circles, and we do some leadership training here at RTS, and it's kind of validated some of the things that I've always known is that you know, coaching and mentoring are different things,
mm-hmm.
And coaching is doing you know what you're saying is how can I help you? What are your challenges? You know, and again, listening and not just listening, but hearing. You know, versus mentoring, which might be a shorter term relationship, and I've had both in my career, and oddly, not a lot in the field that I was involved in at the time, but people in the community that I view and say, I respect them. You know, integrity and honesty are two traits that every leader needs to have, and so I look at people that I admire, and I think that. That has helped me, and I follow what they're doing, and I kind of observe the way they do things, and
mm-hmm.
Whether they're relate, you know, in the field that I'm in or not.
Yeah.
I think you can learn a lot from watching, and just having conversations and networking with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've been a fan of yours for a long time. I remember when you first were running for office, showed up with my sign. We were outside of Kodak, remember that, early
yes.
in the morning, right?
And oh, my gosh.
Loved that. And then
the factory gates.
Yeah, and then some parties, you know, some fundraising parties
yeah,
and all
thank
that stuff.
You.
And so it's been fun. It's been fun to watch and admire you through the years. I think another leadership quality you have, and you probably won't admit it, just being, you know, modest, is that you're genuine. You know, you're authentic and genuine. I think that you don't say something unless you believe it yourself. I think you're very down-to-earth and friendly. I think people, sometimes a politician becomes a little bit removed from the public because they, you know, they have like the high and mighty attitude sets in, you know. But I remember, so my father, you know, went to one of your fundraisers back in the day, and he came back and he said, "She is so nice." I said, "I told you," you know. And I think people have the impression that someone in, you know, people in politics or just leaders in general sometimes will have this like this distant air about them. And you've never had that. You've always just been down to earth and Rotary, I see you and sit together. And I mean, you've always been genuine and friendly and authentic. And I think that's a big piece.
And I think that goes back to broadcasting. I mean, when you are in people's living rooms to the extent that I was for 15
yeah,
years,
yeah.
You know, people perceive you as being more of a friend or an acquaintance than a politician that they don't know. And and to be honest, when I ran for office, because of that, I didn't have to spend my precious 2 minutes on their doorstep telling them who I was. Yeah. They already had a perception of who I was. To their credit, they wanted to know where I stood on issues that were important to them.
Yeah.
But they, you know, I didn't have to break the ice with who am I and here's my background, because they felt like they knew me. So I feel like I've had a good connection with the community. And they've always supported me, good, bad, or ugly, right? And so that's very, I like that. You know, when I finally do retire, which I don't know when that will be.
Yeah, I mean, you probably, you know, I'm imagining if you wanted to, you could, but you just,
yeah,
you just
you know
want to keep, you just.
I do. I love this community.
Got a lot left in you, right?
I do. You know what? I do. And that's it. I think you know when it's time to step aside. And I think, you know, in this later part of my career, one of the things I do enjoy is coaching and mentoring younger workers in any organization, because they are the future. I'm at the end of my career, but they're building a career. And so what can I do to help and to share? And just, you know, not that I'm smarter than they are, but you learn through so many things.
The roller coaster is the incredible experience to be able to teach. I coach people too, starting businesses and growing businesses, and I tell them part of why I can truly help you is because I've done a lot of things wrong.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I've been there and done that. So some people say, oh, my God, you're so smart. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I've been there and done that. Now I could share that experience.
Right.
It's not
that
I'm more intelligent than you. I'm older than you.
Right.
And I've been there and done that. So now I could help you. So put you on the spot a little bit. Do you think politics will ever enter your life again?
No.
All right.
And you know what? It's funny because we talked about broadcasting before we started here. It's a different industry than it was when I was there. And I sound old when I say all this, but
right.
It is. It's a changing business. There's not a lot of loyalty anymore. People are very transient, so you don't go to a station or a market, if you will, and see the same people and stay there for a long time. People are very transient. Politics is an ugly sport. It's a full contact sport these days.
And you're not mean. I mean, sometimes it just seems like you got to be mean, right?
You know, it's a very personal business. And when I got involved, you know, it was all about issues. You go to the door, people want to know, where do you stand on raising my taxes? Where do you stand on crime and public safety? You know, and they wanted to talk about issues. Now they want to talk about, you know, what did you do when you were in kindergarten that nobody liked, or, you know, what evil things did you do in high school? And I mean, it's just a very, very personal
business.
They
want to blame you for things.
They
want
to blame you for things.
Yeah.
And they want to make it about personal integrity versus about your ability to run a government and be a leader. And so, you know, so it's just different. And I think it's a sad difference in a lot of ways, because it keeps a lot of amazing people from running for office.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talented people out there who won't do it because they don't want to put their family through it. They don't want to. They love the governing part. They don't want anything to do with the politics. And at some point, does it come back, you know, full circle again? And do we settle down a little bit? There's no such thing as, you know, statesmen anymore. You don't see a lot of statesmanship. You see a lot of partisan
not a lot of
attacking.
Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill working things out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when I started, it was very much like that. The legislature would work across the aisle, and they didn't agree on everything. But you could go out after a legislature meeting and, you know, have a couple of beers and a sandwich and a hamburger or something and, you know, really talk about things. There's not that connection and relationship that I can see. And I just see it getting worse before it comes back to center. But so it's a changing business. You know, I did it for 20 years, and I'm proud of my legacy. And, you know, so at the end of the day, that will live on. And And so I don't need to add to that at this point. Right. No more value added. You know, I think I've given what I can.
You've earned it. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's funny, one of those people that is toying with getting into politics someday is me, right?
You and I've talked about that.
Yeah, people, you know, and I've toyed with the idea, and even local, I'm in Victor and talking to Jack Maron about being on the board. But right now, I'm just not interested because I have three little kids.
Right.
And, you know, being Italian, it's a mandate that I'm home for dinner most nights, right?
So exactly.
So I always toy with the fact that, you know, when they're out of high school, jumping in, right? And I'll be, you know, late 50s, early 60s. I'll pull a Tom Galesano. I'll just go for governor, you know, skip everything else. But I'm half kidding, right? So, but, you know, I do hear stories like that. Like it's a crazy world, and it eats people up sometimes. So I'm still thinking about it. So we'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah, I mean, what I always tell people is all politics is local, and you may see what you see at the national level, and you may see what you see at the state level, and you know, we hear all these horrible things, but all politics is local, and you know, at a town level, a town board level, you know, you really are working on issues that involve quality of life for people. Are my sidewalks plowed? Are, you know, this and that? Do my streetlights work? You know, do we have a community center? You know, what are we making investments in? So a lot of that, you're really doing good work, so there's less politics. You know, I sometimes call local town politics and village politics, politics with a small p versus Washington, big P.
Right.
But it's different. And so I think you can do more at a local level and have more of an impact than you can, you know, the farther you stray from home base.
I'll just be mayor of Victor. Right?
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
A goal.
There you go. So going back to the county a little bit, and Cheryl DeNolfo is now county executive, and she's going to be at my event coming up.
Yeah, the entrepreneur event.
And she was county clerk.
Yep.
So it was kind of a cool path.
We worked together for many years and still do.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And, you know, and she's wonderful, too. I ran into her in the mall a couple weeks ago and just very friendly. And, always like to see that in our politicians, just genuine, right? But, if you know, going back to your county days, and so a lot of the listeners to the show are entrepreneurs and business owners. What are some of the programs that you remember that just to recommend that they check out? I know there's a few county programs that could be very helpful, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we did when I became county executive was shine a spotlight on entrepreneurship, and I was very proud of that. Our economic development area, we would meet with businesses every week. We'd go out and ask the questions, how can we support you? You know, government doesn't create jobs. The private sector creates jobs, but you need those government and community supports to be successful. So we were always asking that question. But one of the programs we started was called the Entrepreneurs Network. And we, Gene Case still runs that program. It's now affiliated with HTR, High Tech Rochester. And we brought together experts from all over the country to really provide high-intensity coaching sessions for entrepreneurs in the community. Some were startups, some were people with businesses that they wanted to take to the next level and they didn't know how to get there. Oftentimes it was about how do I leverage resources to go to the next level. And so we really launched that program and invested our time and resources, dollars, into making the program successful. And I'm so proud of the fact that I would go to the graduations and we have, I don't know what class they're on right now, but even to this day, a lot of the classes still communicate, still get together, and still talk about, okay, here's where I was when I was in the 10 program, as we called it, here's where I am now. And they're still sharing experiences and, you know, growing their companies. Some have gone on to even different companies. And but it really was a lessons learned sharing, a networking opportunity, connecting people with expertise that they couldn't necessarily find here in Rochester or didn't know how to find. I shouldn't say couldn't, but didn't know how to find. So I think to me that really was a statement of our priority as it related to business, that we were open for business and that nothing was more important than what we could do to support growing jobs and growing companies in Monroe County in
and
the region.
And I know Jean, and she's taken that program really to a great level.
She really is. So many great things going on with that.
And High Tech Rochester is doing incredible things.
Yep.
And the Illuminate program. I mean, it's a lot of stuff happening, and they're in the Sibley building now and revamping that. And it's so very, very exciting time downtown.
It is. And you know what people don't realize, and I read this all the time, and when I was in the county, we would get beaten up for trying to support companies and help them with incentives or whatever we could do to be of a support. But you got to remember that companies have a choice. I mean, Amazon just made a choice, and it wasn't us. Right. Not that we didn't compete and not that we didn't try, and RTS was a part of that application because public transit is very important to them. So companies have a choice, and it's not just about, hey, we're great, and Rochester's a great place to live, work, and raise your families. You've got to really prove to them that, you know, there's a reason that they should be here and not in North Carolina or not in California, not in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so I think if we had that community mindset that companies have a choice and we need to work with them in partnership to find out, not give away the store, but how do we offer enough support so that they will take a chance on us and take a little risk on Rochester. They're taking all the risk, because if they make a decision to be here and, you know, they can't get the customer base, or they can't access the transportation they need, or there's something else that doesn't exist,
right,
they're the ones losing the money at that point. And so, you know, I think sometimes we look at it backwards. And I'm always proud of how this community has supported business through GRE and the Chamber. And we have some great leadership in those organizations.
Yep, Small Business Council. There's some great, great resources. Yeah. We're very lucky. A community our size, what's the saying? I think we punch a lot harder than our weight, right? So Maggie, believe it or not, the hour is up, and we have to go.
Wow, see, that means I talk too much.
No, you could talk even more, but we do have to go. So maybe we'll have you on again.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to anytime. Thank you.
So so Maggie Brooks from RTA. I'm sorry.
Well, RTS.
RTS.
What's RTA is the Teachers Association.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think they want me.
They don't want you. RTS. Maggie, quickly before we go, if listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to reach out to you?
You can reach out to me here at RTS, and it is mbrooks@myrts.com.
All right. Giving the email out. All right.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Very good. Well, Maggie, thanks again. I know you're busy.
Thank you.
Truly appreciate your time and your friendship over the years.
Same here.
It's meant a lot. You're a big part of my life over the years.
Well, thank you. Same here.
Truly appreciate it. And I wish you massive continued success.
Thank you.
We do have to go. I want to thank our listeners for listening too. Thank you. Listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. Today we had a great guest, Maggie Brooks from RTS. Last but not least, if you or somebody you know would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, please throw me an email at david@davidmamano.com. And Mamano is M-A-M-M-A-N-O. Make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com. And also make sure to be
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.